Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 57 of the Panelcast. I'm AJ.
This is Brian.
This week, we have a lot of shit to talk about. I don't know if you've been on the website or not, but we've got tons of news posts and all the stuff that's going on. So that is pretty much what we're going to be discussing this week. Not to mention, Brian and I are going to have an in-depth discussion about the Lost finale. And we're going to get some info, his opinion, my opinion, and we'll probably end up beating the crap out of each other, but who knows. All that and more in this episode of the Panelcast, so stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad, and you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
And we're back. Alright, just going to jump into some comic news here. Now, AJ, I know some of these stories are already on the website,
yes.
So feel free to jump in whenever you feel like it.
Oh, I don't need your permission for that.
Well, I give it to you anyway.
Thanks.
One of the things that I was going to talk about here that I don't know, I found it kind of amusing. And just kind of curious to see if we can get people to chime in on this. We've mentioned before that there was another Spider-Man movie coming out. They got it in the works, Spider-Man 4, you know, whatever it's going to be about, I don't know.
It's supposed to be it's supposed to be another reboot.
Okay.
Apparently, we need another fucking reboot of the Spider-Man movie franchise.
Yeah, really.
So close after the last disappointing movie.
This story then kind of makes a little more sense if that's the case, if it's going to be a reboot to this series. Because right now there's apparently this sort of Twitter movement going on. And
which I'm all down for, by the way. I'm all down for it, but go ahead.
Yeah, there's a Twitter movement going on for to have the people casting for the new Spider-Man movie to cast this actor named Donald Glover. It's kind of becoming this big thing because people are saying that it's about time to have a black actor play Spider-Man. And I guess there have been comments from people at Marvel, I don't know who it was directly, but saying that they don't necessarily have a problem with that. You know, because at least in terms of Spider-Man and who he is, he really doesn't have anything at all to do with his skin color. It's just, you know, that's how it's always turned out. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think a lot of people have a sort of expectation of Spider-Man being white.
Well, for people that don't know who Donald Glover is, Donald Glover is the actor that's on the Community right now. He is the black guy that's on Community. Real funny guy. He got his start by doing College Humor, those videos.
Right.
Real funny guy and really cool guy, and he's really, like, down to play it. I personally have no problem with him taking over the role. I mean, granted, there's two arguments here, and I can understand both sides of the argument. And this is not to get racist in any way, shape, or form at all. But,
right.
You know, Spider-Man has always been written as a skinny little struggling white boy. And, you know, so see him, to see a black actor take over the role is kind of like, you know, a little, it's not like the Samuel Jackson Nick Fury role, where, because in the comic books, in the Ultimate Universe, Nick Fury is indeed a black guy, and Samuel Jackson looks just like him. They nailed it on that part. In fact, I believe they originally modeled that character after Samuel Jackson in the Ultimate Universe. So there's no real big stretch there. I think the problem is that the purists of the comic book movement are saying, hey, well, Spider-Man's always been white. Doesn't matter what universe he's in, he's always been a white guy. And that's true. In any type of variation you've seen of Spider-Man, be it noir, spectacular Spider-Man, any type of alternate timeline Spider-Man you've seen, he's always been this struggling little white guy, except for Spider-Man 2099, where he's played by a Hispanic guy, Miguel. That's the only time you ever see him step out of the racial boundaries. Now, as far as I'm concerned, though, I mean, and I hate to bring up a shitty movie, but look at Daredevil. I mean, Kingpin was played by Michael Clark Duncan, and Kingpin has never been a black guy. You know, so if we can get over that, then why can't we get over Peter Parker being Spider-Man? I mean, Donald Glover right. being Spider-Man. Granted, it's a far stretch. You know, Kingpin, yes, he is a predominant figure, but not as predominant as Spider-Man. As Spider-Man,
right?
Has been.
I mean, as a villain, I think they can take a little more leeway with portraying villains than they do with the heroes, and especially when it's the title character.
Right, right, and that's totally understandable. But at the same time, if the guy can do it, then why not let him do it?
Right. No, I agree wholeheartedly. For me, it's not really an issue at all. If he can play the role, he can play the role. I mean, a lot of Spider-Man's personality, I don't think, has anything at all to do with, you know, whatever his skin color is.
Right.
I mean, I could see...
I mean, it's not like they're gonna ghetto the character. It's not like they're gonna be like, instead of...
No, I, you know, well, I don't even think
breaking
that's
into
really
his house,
an issue.
It can be a gang shooting or some shit. I mean...
I haven't seen anything bringing up that particular issue that people are worried that it's going to become, you know, more ghetto or something like that. I think it's just some people have a certain expectation and they don't really like to see those expectations challenged. And, you know, they expect to see Peter Parker as this little white kid. And I think that's really more of just what it is when it comes to casting and stuff like that. Like people, they don't really think, oh, well, we can't have a black actor because, you know, people are going to think it's more ghetto. I think it just, they cast based on what they think people's expectations are.
Right. And I think it's more along the lines of you've just always seen Spider-Man as a skinny little struggling white boy. You know?
Right.
And I totally get it, guys. I totally understand it. And I'm with you on both ways. You know, I'm with you.
Like 60 years or something like that? How long ago was he created?
Yeah, like 60 years ago. And so I get the fact that you want it to remain that aspect pure. But here's the problem. If you're not going to keep to anything else of the storylines, then why the fuck does it matter if he's white or black? I mean,
well, see, I think that's kind of how I feel about it, is they change so much when they make these movies anyways, that it really doesn't seem like it matter. I mean, yeah, the purists are going to complain, but the purists are going to complain no matter who gets cast in this movie.
Right.
Like how people complained when Tobey Maguire got Spider-Man.
And I thought he did a great job as Spider-Man. It was just everything else that sucked about Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, but
I mean, look at the furor that went up when Heath Ledger got the Joker role.
Right. Right.
I mean,
exactly.
the internet
Heath Ledger
exploded.
Nailed it. They got him a fucking Oscar, right, for Christ's sake. You know, so... It doesn't matter. In an environment where you're not going to keep true to any of the storylines that exist anyway, why does it matter if you change the race of the character? And what sucks is right now is if you argue on either side of the fence, you're going to be looked at as a racist. If you argue on the fact that keeping Peter Parker white, you're going to look like you're racist against black people. If you look like you're arguing for the side of Donald Glover, well, 90% of those people are just going to be arguing just because of the fact that he's black. It has nothing to do with the fact of whether or not he can nail the character or not. And that's what's
right.
sad about it, you know? But let's look at him. Look at Donald Glover, dude. He's perfect for fucking Peter Parker. You know, his attitude, his demeanor, his build, the whole nine. I can totally picture it, and I have no problem with it. His mannerisms, the way he speaks, his sense of humor, you know? No problem with it, but that's not what's going to be seen here. What's going to be seen here is the purist side of it as well as the racial side of it, and that's what's sad. That's going to get lost in the argument that this poor guy who probably nailed the role in a heartbeat is just going to miss it because he's not white, you know?
I think a lot of it, too, is going to depend on how much attention this, you know, like the Facebook group and everything, like the Twitter campaign are going to get, because honestly, when it comes to making movies, I think that's one of the few times when something like this will actually make a difference, because they're making the movie for public consumption, so of course they're going to listen to the public if there's enough of an outcry for it.
Right. So it's just sad. Like I said, it's just sad that the real reasons behind if he doesn't get it is going to get diluted by the fact of the racial coloring skin color, as opposed to whether or not he has the chops to pull off the role. So.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid that it has become the issue du jour of the whole thing. But
and on top of it, I think he only only started this whole thing because as a joke, because that's how he is, you know. As opposed to having any actual serious intention of running it, he probably just threw it up as a joke. You know, why can't I play it? You know what I mean? Not knowing him personally, but just seeing him, you know, on camera, on the web, and so on and so forth. So. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. What else you got?
Another kind of big story here is actually carried on Associated Press as well as various other news outlets. Apparently, the FBI has been cracking down on websites distributing digital comics. There's lawsuits being filed right now. I guess apparently the FBI started investigating this guy, Gregory Stephen Hart, who runs the what's the website? HTMLcomics.com is one of the main ones right now, but there's other ones like comicbooksfree.com, and Associated Press also lists playboymonthly.com, which I don't know if that's, it's just like sort of like a generic copyright lawsuit thing that's going on or what, but the one that most of the other sites are mentioning is HTMLcomics.com, because I guess that was sort of like the big one for a lot of people. And it's not really surprising considering the amount of press that sites like Pirate Bay has been getting, where they keep getting shut down constantly.
Right.
And there's been a lot of lawsuits going over that, and just in general, really, since the mid to late 90s, when a lot of this stuff really started coming into prominence. I mean, it's not really a surprise anymore, but this one looks like it's a pretty big crackdown, at least. The lawsuits were filed in Tampa, and I don't know if all of these sites are based in Tampa. I think that at least the HTMLcomics.com is.
That'd be kind of creepy if they were all based in Tampa. It's just like a bunch of college friends or something just hanging out like, hey, let's all set up servers in our own individual houses to give out free comic books. That'd be kind of cool. You know.
Wouldn't surprise me, though.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit.
A bunch of college students.
But you know what? I don't know. Nothing has changed in the amount of time that digital comics has been put out there. The only thing that's changed now is that the companies are finally getting behind it and trying to market it and make money off of it themselves, like iPhone and what have you.
Right.
You know, and even PlayStation Portable, you can read digital comics on there. Now they're trying – it's like that whole legalized marijuana thing, you know, where, okay, well, instead of like going after people that are – doing it, why don't we get behind it and switch it up and market it so that we can make some money off of it? You know, and that's basically what a lot of the companies are doing. So if the FBI is going after them, I'd have to say that it's FBI driven. It's just the government's way of getting their dime in there, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing, at least according to the Associated Press article, is that the lawsuits are actually filed by the Department of Justice against the domains and not
right as opposed to the individual comic
as opposed
companies.
Yeah, as opposed,
you know,
to
Image,
yeah.
Dark Horse, Marvel, DC, Vertigo, all of them, they're not throwing a big stink out of this. So, you know, the government is just saying, hey, it's non-taxable income and we want our money.
Right. Well, the government has, I mean, the government, the comic book companies have gone on record various times saying that they are against the file sharing of their works, but I haven't really ever noticed that they've made that big of a deal out of it, not like a lot of the record and movie industry companies are doing.
And even then, if you do download a book, if you do download a comic book, if you read, because I'm guilty, I admit, I download comic books, but for me, I download comic books and then I go and buy them so that I'm not wasting my money when I buy them. Yeah, that's the same argument that everybody else has, but if you look at my shelf, tons of trades, tons of comic books. But at the end of each comic book, each download that you get, it says it. If you like it, buy it. You know, they're not promoting the fact that you should just be purely downloading. It says, if you like it, go out and buy it. And as comic book creators ourselves, I'm on the hunt to look out in case ZKS shows up on one of the download sites. But at the same time, I think it's kind of a, I don't know, I think I'd be jazzed to say, oh shit, dude, our shit's up for download. People like us enough to put us up there to download. While at the same time being bitter because they just took $2 out of my mouth. But at the same time, those same people will come and buy posters from us, stickers from us. We'll get the hit count on the website blown up. You know what I mean?
Right. So, I mean, if it comes down to, you know, somebody downloading our stuff and reading it and liking it, and then coming back for more, I can't see any problem with that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, yeah, granted, we're at a couple bucks, but...
Yeah, so what? I mean, and even then, it's not like it really costs us any resources if they're downloading a digital copy. Like, I could see if somebody went into the comic book store and stole our books, I would have more of a problem with that because they're not only stealing from us, they're stealing from the retailer. You know, I mean, they're actually taking something physical that somebody could have had. When it comes to digital, there's no real cost coming from us.
Right.
And somebody that downloads it and doesn't buy it because they didn't like it, you know, it saves them money and we don't really lose any money because they weren't going to buy any more of our stuff anyway.
Right. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and this is one of the things that weirds me out about the whole putting out our own comic book thing. I can't tell you how many times that people have come up to me saying that they like the book and that they want to buy it off of me. They want to buy their own copy off of us, you know?
Right.
At the last Roswell Con, we had a guy roll up. He was in the military. He's like, hey, my entire military outfit, they love you guys. We have one comic that we're passing around. Can I get a couple copies signed that I can, you know, so we can share it with everybody? Because I think they'd be down for that, you know? Or they want to buy posters because of it or what have you.
Right.
I can't
right.
tell you how reciprocal that it's been. In that matter. And again, it's just it's we have free comics that we're passing out. We have the zero issue that's only $2 that's passing out. And I believe Chris at the store only sells it for a buck. But, you know, whatever. We're not making a lot of money off of it, but where the money does come in, where the revenue does show up is when they're buying the posters or they're giving us compliments. I can't tell you how big of a smile both you and I have had on the release day, you know, when people are like, dude, I love your comic book. You know, so it doesn't bother me that much if it shows up to be downloaded. So... I would think it'd be the same way. Now, granted, we're not in the same numbers as Marvel or DC or anything. But
No.
You don't see them pursuant of this lawsuit. You see, it's the government coming after it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a little strange that the government suing people over somebody else's copyrights, but it's... Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Moving on.
let's see. Seen a bunch of stories out there too, and I know that we've got stuff on our website for the new Captain America movie that's coming out.
Right.
We've got some. I can't tell if these are just concepts or if these are photographs. They just look like paintings to me. I'm assuming
they're digital concept artwork of the costume, but they are indeed real. This is what the costume is going to be looking like.
Okay. Yeah. So
they just couldn't put out real pictures yet because they barely started filming yesterday.
That makes sense. Yeah, I was looking at it and is thinking, well, it looks pretty realistic. Like, it kind of looks like the actor, but looks a little too shiny.
It's digitally set up to look like the actor. So these are, for those of you that are wondering what we're talking about, the Captain America costume pictures are up. And they're just digital concept art pictures of what the costume is going to look like in the movie. They are 100% real. This is what the costume will look like. It was posted up on Ain't It Cool News yesterday or day before yesterday and then verified and confirmed yesterday. So the pictures that you're seeing up online right now are indeed what the costume will look like in the movie. Now, that's not saying it's the 1940s version. It's obviously going to be the when he wakes up out of ice version. Just based on the technology and stuff that's shown and the style that's shown in the costume. But... yeah, what you're seeing is real. That's what it's going to be. And yes, that is Chris Evans' face digitally set onto the costume and the character. I have no problem with it, other than the fact that it's missing the wings and the helmet. I have no problem with the pictures.
Yeah, a bunch of people complained about that. But
the one thing, you missed one thing. Right.
It's a minor thing.
The one thing. Otherwise...
yeah. Well, from what I understand, it was intentionally left off. It wasn't just something that they forgot to add. They just decided
not to put
it. And that's
cool, I guess. You know, if you miss one thing, that's all right. But again, we're talking about, you know, an alternate universe version of Captain America. We're talking about the Ultimates version universe of Captain America. And for all intents and purposes, that is what the costume looks like in the Ultimates comic book. So I'm pretty down with it. I mean, it looks pretty real. I'd like to see it, you know, in real life, just to see like the material and how it looks on the person and so on and so forth. But the first thing I got to say that I'm noticing that I'm already automatically digging is that there's no pre-built like abs and pecs into the uniform.
Yeah, that was kind of nice. It wasn't like the
Right, you
Batman
know,
suit
there,
with
none of that
nipples.
is happening here. It just looks like a uniform, you know. Granted, a very buff-ass uniform, as far as like armor and stuff and the material that it's made out of. But I'm down with it.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure there's probably going to be, screenshots being leaked to the web soon, so we just have to keep our eyes peeled.
And on the same page, why don't we talk about the
Yeah.
Thor concept art that was put up today?
Yeah, there's new images released of Thor, and aside from just the one
Right,
that I think
right.
everybody has seen. And I have to say that I am actually kind of intrigued to see the Thor movie. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'll wait until trailers start coming out before I really make a judgment on it, but at least in terms of the costuming, it doesn't look
I don't like it,
stupid.
and I don't know if it's just because of the Club Metro boots or what have you that's on there, or I think what it is that he looks too straight lined. You know what I mean? He just looks like there's no variance in his build as far as like being buff up top or big muscular legs or what have you. He just looks like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that's more of a
Yeah,
thing on
but
the
it just
actor,
looks
really.
too plain, in my opinion. So I don't know. I don't know.
I was just kind of worried that he was going to be like this mix between
Well,
Liberace and
I mean,
Fabio.
it could be worse. He could look like the
So.
Thor from the Incredible Hulk TV series, and I guess that was pretty bad, but I don't know. I don't see a thunder god dressing like this. Like he's going out to an industrial club, and that's what I'm seeing here. So maybe I need to see it in live action in real life to change my opinion on it. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, ultimately, I guess it comes down to the same thing with Captain America. We'll just have to wait until the trailers start coming out to actually see
Right,
how
right. We'll
it
see what
gets pulled
happens.
off.
Do you have anything else?
Yeah, there's one other thing I was going to mention, kind of going back to digital comics. We mentioned a while back about the Comixology app that came out for the iPad in order to allow people to download and read comics. For those of you that don't have an iPad, the Comixology application is now going to be coming to, I believe it's going to be coming to other mobile devices. I don't know if it's coming to Android just yet, but it is at least coming to the web, so you can read it on your computer. And not really to get too much into it, but the Comixology application is just allows you to sort of like. It's set up to allow you to read comic books sort of in a more natural format. Some of the digital readers that are out there are kind of chintzy because they only show you one, series of frames at a time, or they don't really allow you to scroll through pages. And this one's kind of set up to make it a little bit more natural, like you're reading an actual comic book.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that, but I think it all boils down to your screen size and your resolution, you know. For me, I like using
Right.
the C display, because I have it set up to where it takes up the entire screen, not one page at a time, but like basically one panel at a time. And yeah, I got to scroll up and down to get the whole page concept sometimes, but I prefer it. Maybe it's just because I'm used to it, but we'll see. I mean, I've messed around with the
Yeah.
Comical for the Mac, and I kind of didn't like that one because it's very, I don't know, it focuses on the frame. Like it'll bring out the whole page, two page spread, but then you have to scroll your mouse over the word bubbles so it pops up and read onto it, and I don't know. And it's got the
Yeah.
thumbnails laid out on the side. Maybe it's just the layout you can change too, but I like C display. But we'll see what Comixology does. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any judgments, at least in terms of it being on the web base. It seems mostly that the Comixology program was mainly designed with the
Right.
iPad in mind, so it may not translate to the computers, at least, to like PCs and Macs that well.
Yeah, we'll see
Well,
indeed.
we'll see. And I think that's about going to do it for all of the stories that I've been able to dredge up. So if there's anything else that I've
forgotten
to mention.
Yeah, I wanted to talk real quick, just touch base on a couple of things that we posted up on the site under the comic section. That's the part of the show we're talking about this in this segment is the comic section. The comic book Runaways is getting adapted into a film. Marvel put this out about 5 years ago. It was a comic basically on a whole bunch of supervillains' children. And these kids find out that their parents were supervillains and that they themselves have powers and how that they're going to deal with it, whether or not they wanted to follow their parents' footsteps or be superheroes in their own right. It's a pretty good comic book. I like reading the comic book. I hate reading them being integrated into other comic book series. I don't think anybody else has figured how to do that properly yet, but in their own series, I really dig the series. So I'm pretty anxious to watch the movie. The only problem I have is that there's a Velociraptor in the comic book as one of their pets, and I just don't think that's going to play off too well on the big screen unless it's completely CGI'd. But who knows? I mean, the Walking with Dinosaurs is running around doing pretty good, so maybe they'll just borrow one of those.
I was thinking maybe they could just steal one of the Velociraptors from Jurassic Park.
But who knows? But yeah, I'm pretty anxious to see this. It's just another comic book in a long-running series of other comic books that are being adapted into film. And we as geeks, we're the ones feeling that. It's our fault that it's happening. So, you know, you can't get mad at anybody. You can't get mad at Hollywood. You can't get mad at anybody else. The only problem thing that you can get mad at Hollywood for is the lack of faithful adaptation or how shitty the movie is. But the fact that they're converting a comic book into a movie is our fault because they see the numbers. They see how they see the fan base that it has.
Right. Well, we're a market for it. I mean, we want it as much as we bitch and complain.
And it's obvious we want it because in the past 10 years, the biggest blockbusters out there have been comic book adaptations. So it's our fault. We're the ones bringing in the money for Hollywood. So we're the only ones to blame. So here we are, Runaways. I'll check it out. As a geek, like I said, I will fuel the Hollywood dream and keep watching these damn movies because that's how I am. Speaking of movies, the Green Lantern movie synopsis is up and posted on our site. If you have a chance, check it out. It will tell you basically a lot of what you're going to see in the movie. And hopefully, it's going to spoil it. So give it a read if you're into being spoiled. Another bit of news, Dynamite acquires Total Recall. Dynamite Comics is an independent, quasi-independent, more mainstream than we are, but independent comic book company that's out there, and they've acquired the rights to the Total Recall franchise. Total Recall being the movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a long time ago.
That was a horrible, horrible translation.
It was, but
a
if
Philip
you don't
K.
look
Dick
at
story.
It like a Philip K. Dick story, it was an awesome, cheesy movie with three boobs. So yeah, they're going to be putting out the comic book adaptation of it as well as an ongoing series after the fact. I don't know if you guys remember or not, but there was a Total Recall television series that was out for about a season. It didn't do too well out there because it strayed from the movie.
Wow.
In that it was focusing more on the company as opposed to the character of Quaid or any of the other individuals. But we'll see what happens with this one. Also, Joe Quesada was named Marvel CCO. I don't see how this is any bigger of a deal than what he was already doing in the first place. But for more information on that, you can check it out on the website. And lastly, what I wanted to talk about was the first image of Xerxes from Frank Miller's prequel to 300. That has been released. The image is up on our website, Brian. Check it out. It's very Frank Miller style, and I'm pretty amped about it. The only problem I have is, once again, when a comic book movie adaptation comes out and it does so well that it causes the creator of the comic book to go and write more stories for it, even though originally, he did 300 and he was done with it, now he's forced to revisit it. But at the same time, at least he's the one that's doing that as opposed to someone else going in and redoing it, It'd be like Alan Moore going, okay, well, I'll go back and write Watchmen Part 2. As shitty as Watchmen Part 2 would be, it'd still be Alan Moore, so it'd still be kind of awesome at the same time.
It'd be better than
somebody
else writing
Watchmen
Part 2.
I wrote Watchmen 2, because I'll be honest, I couldn't write it. It'd be shit. So, all that more is up on the website. We have one of the comic books that I'm very excited to read called Guardians of the Globe. I'm a huge Invincible fan. I've made no secret about that. Guardians of the Globe is an offshoot of Invincible, where pretty much a lot of the characters from Invincible are getting together to fight in the Virchmite. I can't pronounce it. Give me a second. Let me look at it. it is the Virchmite War. That's what it is. So you'll see a lot of characters from Image and Invincible showing up just to fight into the big war that's happening. And if it's any, if Invincible has been in any indication of the violence and how badass this series is going to be, then I am completely amped about it. So yeah, we have another bunch of other comic books up there, news and stuff. So give it a check out. Other than that, I am done.
Yeah, well, I think that's about going to cover it for the news. I know we've got a couple of things that we're excited to talk about, so go ahead and wrap this up, take a quick break, and be right back.
Hi, this is Brandi Ausette, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandiausette.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. In this segment, we're going to talk some... Bah, I can't even speak today. See? See how early it is? See what Brian makes me do? He makes me talk like this.
Early?
Early.
It's 5 o'clock, son.
Shut the hell up. 5 o'clock in New Bedford.
That's right.
Anyway, let's talk about...
I'm from the future.
Let's talk about a couple things before we get to the main meat of the conversation that I'm sure Brian wants to have with me.
Yeah.
First off, I want to talk about... Guillermo del Toro stepping down from The Hobbit. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little bit upset about this fact. And it's not for any other reasons other than the fact that it's taking too long for the movie to get off the ground. And Guillermo del Toro... See, I went all Mexican there. Guillermo.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of other things that he has to deal with and other movies that he has to film, and he just doesn't have the time to commit into The Hobbit. This is going to be like the Lord of the Rings film, where it takes like a couple of years to film, and he just doesn't have that much time anymore. All his projects are being backed up, and now he has to actually commit and make a paycheck. So he's going to...
So how come the Kiwi isn't doing it?
He may be. News Today states that he's going to go ahead and put throw his name into the hat to try and do it.
I thought they were going to just have him do it anyways, considering the success of The Lord of the Rings.
You know, it only makes sense that they would, but I don't know if... I think the problem is also that Pete Jackson just... He doesn't want to commit that much time into it either. I mean, that took a lot out of his life to film those three movies, and it took a lot out of him. And being as that The Hobbit will be two films, I just think that he's concerned about the timeline and that's what his whole life is going to be. I mean, it sucks that he had so much success with the first movie that now that's what he's associated with. I mean, we saw his attempt when he went to King Kong. It was nowhere near the level of Lord of the Rings, and that's what people expect from him from now on. And so maybe he just doesn't want to get typecast into being the J.R.R. Tolkien filmmaker, you know, much like Frank Darabont is Stephen King's filmmaker.
Right. You know?
So maybe that's what he's afraid of, but I think at this point he just has to buckle down and admit that nobody else is going to do it as good as him except for Guillermo del Toro, and since del Toro can't do it, he's just going to have to step up and do it himself.
So, yeah, I definitely think del Toro would have done an interesting adaptation, and I like his films.
Right. I mean, Hellboy, as great as Hellboy is as a comic book, he just amplified it in his films, and I'm just very excited. I was very excited about to see his adaptation of The Hobbit. I mean, that's just not taking anything away from Pan's Labyrinth or The Orphanage or anything else that he's ever done, but I mean, Hellboy to me stands out, especially the...
Well, even Pan's Labyrinth with the way that he combined CGI and costumes, I think he did that with Hellboy as well, where it just kind of lends just a little bit more realism to the project. So I think his directing style would have worked really well for keep wanting to say Lord of the Rings, but The Hobbit.
Right, and I believe it too. I mean, del Toro has that. What is the name of the author that creates the style of stuff that del Toro sticks with?
I kind of know who it is, but I haven't actually read any of the guy's books, so...
Neither have I, and I'm sorry that we're missing... We fail as geeks at this point in that we can't name the creator of the style that he's honoring, but you guys know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will come on and correct us.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. But, so yeah, that's the big news there. Another big news is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is getting Michael Bay'd. He has, big explosions! Earth impenetrable.
Seriously, I'm just gonna fucking kick the shit out of Michael Bay. I'm going on record as saying this. Michael Bay, if I ever meet you in person, I'm gonna kick the shit out of you.
I'd like to see that happen, actually. I got $5 that says he takes you.
That guy pisses me off more than Blue Water Comics.
Are we going to have a new segment for you?
Yeah, it's just Brian goes insane. Yeah,
there you go. Lovecraft, that's who it is. H.P. Lovecraft, that's who we're referring to in Del Toro, that he taps on H.P. Lovecraft style. Anyway.
H.P. Lovecraft, okay.
Anyway, back to Michael Bay.
I actually have read H.P. Lovecraft.
Shut up, we're on Michael Bay. We're on Michael Bay, no more.
No Michael Bay,
Michael
please.
Bay. Anyway, I'm very interested, at least to say the least, to see what he does. The last Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie was an animated feature CGI, which I kind of dug. I liked it. So we'll see what goes on. We'll see. I don't know. I can't even make this seem like a cool thing. I don't have the word power in me to make it seem like a cool thing. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles gets Michael Bay. That's what I titled the article. That's what's going to happen. John and I have this thing, John from Draw Hard Studios, have this thing where we're like, please don't Michael Bay your shit. And he's turned into a metaphor, and that's just what's happening here.
It's a brilliant metaphor because...
It totally is.
I fucking hate Michael
and
Bay.
There you go. There you go. Now on to the big thing that we've been wanting to talk about for a long time. And that is, images have come out, as well as an interview with Frank Darabont about his adaptation of The Walking Dead for AMC. Brian, I can't tell you the level of enthusiasm I now have for this project. I mean, as much as I did before, it has now grown infinitesimally more because of the images that have come out about this. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, my excitement level shot way up. Because, I mean, it's been in the back of my head for a while, and I've been talking about it with my friends and stuff that I've been getting into The Walking Dead. And, yeah, but just seeing the interview with Frank Darabont talking about it and seeing his enthusiasm for the project and seeing just that AMC, you know, because I think they also, in the interview, they have a talk with some of the AMC execs. And seeing their enthusiasm for the project, really, I'm excited. Yeah. I want to see it.
I'm very amped to see. I mean, the zombies look high quality. I mean, the work that they did on these zombies looked great. The interview, just seeing Frank Darabont's enthusiasm behind the entire thing is got me amped up. I mean, the guy just flat out says, I've always wanted to do zombies, period. And, you know, right. And the love and the amount of respect that they're giving out to Romero in that interview also is phenomenal. So I'm very excited to see this. And if you haven't had a chance, then you're stupid. Go check out the pictures that we put up there. They're phenomenal, as well as the interview, which is on the front page. I mean, Christ. Pause the panel cast and go watch the interview. And if you haven't read The Walking Dead right now, I don't know what to tell you, because this is the epitome of the zombie genre.
Get on that shit.
It is forcing me, something I had said on Facebook, Justin White had made a comment about it, and it's forcing me to make me want to write better when it comes to the ZKS stuff. It makes me want to improve my level of writing just to keep up, you know, because just to do this just rewards, you know, I want to make sure I pay the proper amount of respect while writing ZKS to the zombie genre now, because they've brought a higher class to it, in my opinion. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's in terms of zombie comics, it's definitely the best zombie comic that's out there, hands down, absolutely. In terms of the zombie genre in general, I'd say that he definitely is at a level with George Romero in terms of just what he's bringing to the genre
right.
as a whole.
And I'm sure he didn't even mean to do that when he intentionally set out. He just went out to write a zombie book, and Kirkman, you're doing a great job, man. You nailed it. And I have to give it up to you. I mean, God, I can't tell you how many people I've gotten to start reading this book and have automatically hated me because it's an ongoing series.
You know,
and Brian being one of them. I've gotten so many people to read this book, and they all now hate me because they're like, crap, when is 72 coming out? When is number 73 coming out? You know, so I think you did a great job, Kirkman, and props to you. This is why when Brian and I were stalking you last year at Comic-Con, I couldn't come up and talk to you because I'm just that much of a big fan of the work you've done with Walking Dead, Invincible, and so on and so forth. And somehow this turned into a Robert Kirkman cocksucking segment, so there you go. I hope I didn't slobber all over you. But anyway, moving on. Brian, I don't know if you have checked out the trailer that we have on the website, but the new trailer for the new J.J. Abrams TV show called Undercover has gone up.
I haven't.
And it looks really, really cool. I am so down with it. Right now, I haven't seen J.J. Abrams do anything I don't like, as far as I'm concerned. Star Trek, Cloverfield, Alias. Yeah. Didn't he just put out a new movie that was awesome? He's just nailing it, as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that they're letting him back on TV with this new show called Undercover has me very excited. The show looks great. The trailer looks awesome, and I'm very amped to see it. On top of that, the fact that they are indeed trying to reboot Alias, which was one of my favorite TV shows. So we'll see what happens, but I'm pretty amped about it.
Yeah, well, definitely just because his name's attached to it, I'll be interested in taking a look at it. And then I guess I'll have to talk more about it after I actually sit down and watch the preview
right.
for it.
I mean, he did a great job with Fringe. He's done a great job with Fringe. He did a great job with Lost. And, like, again, Alias, stuff like that. So we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, just Lost on its own, I think.
Right.
Is... Yeah.
Speaking about which,
even though I do have,
let's talk Lost, fucker.
Okay, yeah, let's do this. Lost.
Where do we start?
I don't regret the past 6 years, but I was still a little disappointed. I mean, I'm gonna say here, the ending of the series was definitely a very emotional ending. I got caught up in it. Definitely had a few moments where I was getting choked up, but still a lot of disappointment.
What are you disappointed about?
Basically, okay, a little bit of spoiler alerts here, people. From what I saw of this series, the way that the series ended, and I've discussed this with people at length since then, but the series ending essentially just sort of explained season 6 and what was happening in season 6. The rest of the time, from the time that they crashed on the island up to season 6, doesn't really get explained at all. It doesn't seem like it had anything to do with anything. They just kind of went through this stuff on the island, and then the only part that really got touched on was what happens at the last season. And so that was kind of disappointing to me, because there was a lot of things that were going on, and there's some stuff that they hinted at. I mean, they kind of explained things like the Dharma Initiative gets explained a little bit, I think, in season 5. But there's too many things that it looks like they didn't even bother to try to explain it. And I know they said they weren't really going to be able to explain everything, but I was at least kind of hoping they could explain some of it, something.
More than what they explained?
Yeah, well, it seems like really what the ending came down to was explaining the Flash sideways. That's what the ending, the final, like the season finale explained, was the alternate storyline that they were telling. And so the actual events of everything that's happening on the island is just sort of left out. As I felt like I was robbed a little bit. Although, I mean, like I said, they did make it emotionally stirring. I mean, it was good. It was a good ending. And if the entire series had been about you know, the two different storylines on the island, I guess it would have worked better, but it didn't work for me.
That's too bad. I personally dug it. I mean, it's obviously a great point of discussion. We should have saved this for our next segment, just to have an entire segment to devote to this. but we'll try and keep it short and sweet. You're right. I thought that the final episode was amazing. I thought they did a great job with it in the amount of time that they had to try and tie everything together. It's one of those things where, okay, I really wish that every single TV series out there that's going to get canceled or knows that it's on its last legs would do its best to wrap everything up in such a manner. Maybe not so much wrap everything up, but end on a definitive note, you know? The one question that everybody's like throwing all around that they don't understand. Yes, at the end of the episode, they are all dead. They are all meeting up in like the waiting room to walk through the door to go to heaven, the gates of heaven, and that's what you're seeing. Now, what leads up to that point is what everyone is confused about. That episode basically.
Right. That's essentially what I was saying. Just
right. So it basically, here's what happens. The time on the island is the. Oh, how can I say this? All these candidates were brought forth so that they can protect the island. There always needs to be good and evil. We already know that. So everybody was brought to the island as a sort of candidate as to which side that you would be on, which side that you would be great to replace Jacob and his brother when their time is up. They obviously knew that they were on their way out. They knew that, you know, their time is coming up to pass. Jacob's brother wanted to get off the island so that he could, you know, cause destruction, heaven and hell, the whole nine, the whole biblical aspect that you look at. So that's why he set this plan in motion, was to have all these people come on the island in opposition to Jacob's side so that he could leave the island and do what he does best. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Jacob won, good wins over evil, blah, 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 blah. And that's what I saw. In case you didn't notice, everybody in the waiting room that you see, and especially in the flashbacks through season 6, the flashbacks with season 6 where everybody is in the future timeline, it's basically saying that they're already dead, and this is just how they're coming to realize that they're dead and to move on
right
into the afterlife.
Right, I got that
but
part.
But if you realize, if you notice, none of those people, out of all those people, maybe one of them was from the tail side, and a few of them were the others. Now, the others, if you notice, they were all agents of bad people. They were all, like, for example, the guy that killed Linus's daughter, he was in there killing people. So all those people that were in the others were all agents of bad people. And you see them behaving in such a manner. The Tailies, you never saw because they were just automatically dead. They just had died on the island. They didn't have a chance to move forward or establish connections with everybody else. The only people in the tail section that you did see was Anna Lucia, who you saw for a brief second, and that's more of like a memory flashback, and Bernard and Rose, and that's because those two are bound together through love, you know, and that's because also you saw them on the island right before the island, you know, everybody left the island in the present timeline. So that's what I got off of it. That's just my interpretation of the whole deal. So the only problem I had was, who the fuck was that little kid? Like, there's a lot of argument going on about it right now that little kid was Jacob reincarnated or what have you. But I don't get it. I don't see it. I really wish I knew who the little kid was. I thought it would be like Aaron, you know, growing up and somehow got stuck on the island again. But it just didn't happen. And the other thing that bothered me was Walt. The lack of Walt. You know, you show Michael trying to you know, make amends to the wrongdoings that he had done while he was alive, but you don't see Walt at all. You'd think Walt would be in heaven. I mean, the kid didn't do anything wrong. So,
but yeah, the ending itself didn't really explain everything, but I mean, it at least explained.
It wrapped it up enough for us to walk away and say, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, sort of. I mean, I still have some issues that I would like to write to J.J. Abrams about, but
well, I watched the Jimmy Kimmel special after the fact, And you know, he was talking to Jack, the character of Jack. I can't remember who played it, Matthew Fox. And you know, he was laying down his interpretations that they've been dead since they. There was this part in season 6 where they were all on the plane again to fly back, and it looked like they were going to crash. And instead of crashing, they just woke up and went on. And it was at that point that they had actually died. And Matthew Fox said, yeah, that's basically it. We're all dead all the other times. Everything that happens on the island was significant to alter our events in the future. But, you know, we'd all died on the plane. So that made it even more confusing. I wish Matthew Fox would have shut the fuck up. But, yeah, so the ending of Lost, there you have it. We're not going to get any solid reasons off of it. I felt like I was the one douche. Like, I had posted on Facebook, like, my prediction for the final episode would be that no questions would get answered, people would still be confused, and one douche in every single group would be like, yeah, I get it. And it turned out that at the end of it, Lost, I was like, ah, fuck, I'm the douche. Because I totally got it. But, you know, there you have it. That's my opinion of it. I thought it was great. Yes, I would have liked to see more storylines get tied up, but I'm happy with what storyline did get tied up. And yes, I did shed a tear when I realized they were all dead and Jack's dad sitting there saying, like, I love you, what the hell, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I liked it, and I'm satisfied enough with the way it ended. I'm not. I mean, I don't feel like I was cheated like I did with Battlestar. And so, I mean, I didn't get the answers that I was looking for.
Yeah.
But with a show that complex, what are you going to do?
They kind of fucked themselves on that level. There's only so much. They made it so deep and so good that they couldn't write themselves out of it at the end of the day. I did like the alternate endings that they showed on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, though. Where, like, one ending was Saeed getting kicked out of the island like it was Survivor. And he's like, I get shot in the chest, I kill all these fucking people, and they kick me off the island? Fuck this. And he, like, walks off. And then the other one was the Bob Newhart ending, where Bob Newhart wakes up. He's like, I had this weird dream about a hotel room, about a hotel I was running. And Kate wakes up like, I had this weird dream about this island I was on. So that one was kind of funny. And then they did the Sopranos ending, where they're all in the diner and nobody understands what the fuck is going on. So I enjoyed those. It was pretty funny. So yeah, moving on. One other show I wanted to talk about the season finale of was Chuck. Brian, I know you haven't caught up yet, and that's too bad because I'm going to ruin it for you.
All right, cool.
The ending of Chuck was awesome. It was awesome. It was explosions, blowing up, moving forwards, the whole nine. It was everything you could want from the series. And they did a great job of saying goodbye to one part of his life and introducing the next part of his life. It left you. The ending was like the ending at in Raiders of the Lost Ark, where you walk in, you see Area 51 and all the stuff going on, and that's basically how the ending of Chuck was. He walks into this area where he sees so much more of his father's life that he never really understood, and you see the silhouette of his mom, and yeah, that the show just continues to impress me, and I just love it to death. Unlike Flash Forward, who's lasted one season, and if they had put in as much effort into their entire season as they did into that last episode, they'd probably have a second season. But unfortunately, they fucked it all up, and Flash Forward has now been canceled. So enjoy that one season, because it's all crap now.
I didn't even watch it.
Yeah, it's basically where Lost actors went to go get further jobs. That's what Flash Forward was. And to watch the last episode of Lost, seeing all those characters from Flash Forward, all those actors from Flash Forward pop back into Lost, like, it just made me feel bad for them. Like, they're all, well, they're in the ABC family. Might as well just come on over and make some money. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sad. So, and that's all I had for this segment. Brian, did you have anything else you wanted to toss in there?
No, I mean, I could keep talking about Lost, but I'm not going to do that.
Awesome. So why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics. I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
And we're back. All right. Just wanted to come in and mention that we do have a new member of Forbidden Panel. He's going to be writing up video game reviews for us if you haven't already been on the site and noticed. Name is Andrea. And AJ, I think you know her better than I do, so.
Yeah, Andrea is a cool person I met at the Shrine show that we did a couple weeks ago. And she's a video game editor for another magazine that's out there, and she has decided to join us and post reviews and stuff of her video games, and wanted to thank her very much, and she's been posting a lot of her past reviews, and they seem to be doing great. She does a great job with her reviews. She's going to E3 in the next couple of weeks, and she'll be bringing us some awesome footage.
Nice.
Photographs, interviews, and so on and so forth, and a write-up to put on the website. So we're pretty excited about that. And just wanted to give a general, hey, welcome to the site. So if you haven't had a chance, go ahead and read her stuff and say hi and introduce her and welcome her to the website.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome that we got some E3 connections.
Yes, E3. We hate you, Andrea, for going to E3 without us, but we're glad that somebody with Forbidden Panel gets to go.
Yeah. I can't really say anything since I haven't met her, but I've gone through and glanced through her reviews, and she writes well. So, yeah, guys, go on there, check it out. Tell us what you think, and I would like to personally extend my welcome to Andrea.
Hey.
All right. As you know, have you got anything else that we've got going? I know you've got a bunch of stuff coming up in terms of your exhaustive Comic-Con circuit you've been on.
Oh, dear God. I can't tell you about all the shows that we've been going to and everything that we've been doing, but I can't complain about it either. I mean, as exhausting as it is, I'm loving it, loving meeting all these new people and being able to just put ZKS out there on everybody's lips and have everybody visit Forbidden Panel due to it, you know. But coming up, we have two comic shows that are coming up that we'd like to invite all of our friends out to. Excuse me. The first one being the Rose Bowl Comic and Collectible Show. Now, yes, we are out there every month at the show, and we'd love to see more people coming out there. We have a lot of people, return visitors and what have you, but we'd like to see new people coming out there. So come visit us. It's the second Sunday of every month. This week it'll be on in June, I believe it's the 13th that we'll be out there. Yes, June 13th we'll be out there. It's from 11 to 4 at the Rose Bowl. That's part of the Rose Bowl flea market. So, you know, don't just come out there for the comics. Come out there for everything else. But, you know, come out there for the comics.
Right. For our comics.
For our comics. The next show will be a week after that at the Geeks Comic Book Store in Whittier. I personally visited the store a couple of days ago, and it's a pretty cool store. It's very, very roomy and spacious, something I'm not used to seeing in a comic book store, aside from Chris's at Four Color Fantasies.
Right.
So it's a very cool store, and they're putting on a little convention there at the store, and we will be there. The poster is up on the website. You can see it says GeeksCon. The artwork is down by John Narcomi of Draw Hard. So, yeah, come out and check it out. People there will be Agamat Entertainment, Raul Aguirre Jr., Michael Oshenker, Gio Braun, Jose Cabrera, Sherm Cohen, Ruben Gerard, Javier Hernandez. And Javier, he's just a really cool guy. I think you had a chance to meet him, Brian. Really cool guy. He wrote a comic book called El Muerto, and that was starring the guy that played Fez in that 70s show. So he did that movie, as well as comic books that he's putting out. Tom Hutchinson, Jim Luan, Dan Mendoza, John Narcomi, of course, Rafael Naviero, Lance Sawyer, Ted Seiko, Super Pirate, and Booty Hunt, as well as Justin and myself. So we'll be out there. It's a 10-hour comic convention held in the store from noon to 10 p.m. So please come out and visit us. Say hi. Bring us a Slurpee because God knows we'll need something by then. And so that'll be pretty cool. Other than that, I think that's all we have for the month of June. We're taking some time to allow Justin to draw and finish the number one issue as well as inking the 24-hour issue. I do want to take this opportunity to tell everybody out there and remind you guys, June 12th is creeping up on us, guys. Which means the deadline for the ZKS pinup contest is coming. We know that a lot of you are working on the submissions, and we just remind you that you've got about 2 weeks before it's over and that they're due. So please get on it. send us your submissions. We're very anxious to see what's going to happen with this. We're very anxious to see your work. Some of the submissions we've already gotten are just phenomenal. Brian, I know I've shown you a couple, and, you know, they're just awesome.
Yeah, the first one you showed me, definitely, it was pretty awesome, but I haven't seen some of the newer ones that have come in, but I'm still pretty excited to see them.
Yeah, it's going pretty well, and the response we've gotten is great. It's just the deadline is coming, people, and you need to hurry up and get on that. And that's pretty much all the shows that we're going to be at. I think with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. Brian, did you have anything else you wanted to add before I start listing off all the names of the websites we want people to visit?
Nope.
Awesome. I want to remind everybody again that on the website, on the right side of the website, you will see our Amazon.com store link. It has a link to some of the comic books that we review and recommend for everybody out there. Please go ahead and visit it and make your purchases off of it. We need the money. On the left side of the website, you'll see a link to splitreason.com that has apparel for geeks and gamers. I buy all of my t-shirts at this place. It is an awesome, awesome online store. They put out great quality shirts, and want to remind everybody to please go there and buy something from them. The Forbidden Panel store is up. If you can't make it to any of the conventions to come see us or pick up your copy of ZKS Zero or any of the posters, please visit the Forbidden Panel store, where we have everything that we do and sell as far as ZKS or anything else comic book related that we have that we put out will be on the store. Necrosapien.net is the home of Justin White. He is the artist of ZKS. He has a lot of his prints up there. High quality, phenomenal stuff. And they are also being sold at the Forbidden Panel store. It should be up sometime within the next couple days. I want to remind everybody to please visit our friends drawhard.com, hightowercomics.com, brandyosset.com, Necrosapien.net one more time. And yeah, please just click on the donate button. Give us a dollar. We could use it. So once again, Brian, if you have anything else.
Nope.
Then that'll do it for the 57th episode of the Panelcast. We will see you guys all next week. Hope you have an awesome week. And please, 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 please find us on Facebook. We are Forbidden Panel News as well as Zombie Kill Squad on Facebook. Take it easy, guys.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.